Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada, a podcast that will cover topics relevant to people joining the firearms community in Canada. We welcome listener participation by emailing us at host@newshootercanada.ca or visiting our website at www.newshootercanada.ca. There you'll find our show notes and can provide feedback. And like our page on Facebook. I'm your host, George, and on with the show. Hello, Internet. This is the New Shooter Canada podcast coming to you from deep beneath the secret hidden igloo, broadcasting from the Great White North. I'm your host, George, and let's get on with the show.
Guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale. Hell, I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Our goal is to inform, update, and entertain the new shooter about the many fun and exciting aspects of sport shooting in Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. And remember what they say about opinions. Everybody has one. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George Hatch and Tom Donnelly.
Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So, without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Everybody likes guns, they just don't know it. Deep inside of a soul, there's a cowboy trying to get out.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Drumroll. I'm assuming Mike's entering a drumroll here. Episode 100. Oh my goodness, I can't believe we made it to 100. It only took us, what, 3 years to get 2 years worth of episodes?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Although, I just noticed the Armed Squirrels put up an episode, and I think they're at 118 or something like that. Is that right?
I think we've only actually missed 1 week, haven't we?
Yeah, we haven't missed very many. Since you and I got the show rebooted, we haven't... I don't think we've missed very many weeks. Mike and Sarah saved us a couple times. I was pretty sick there a couple weeks in the summer.
Yeah, and when Mike I got Sarah, sick, Trevor came on and helped you out.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't think we've missed very many episodes or very many weeks. So the big 100. So we're going to do a look back over 100 episodes show, and that's going to be the wonderful, the beautiful, the magnificent Miss Wanda will be doing an interview-style main topic with us. But before we get to that, let's do what we did in guns. And, you know, episode 100, why would I do anything different than pretty much all the other episodes? I did nothing. Actually, Wanda and I spent a lot of the day today kind of polishing up and finishing up our prep for the 100th episode, but other than that, didn't do any shooting. Thomas, what did you do?
I did a George.
Did a George.
I didn't do anything. I haven't gone shooting since the Cherish. Well, that's not true. I went shooting once when Thomas and I went to check out the Grand Power, but or not the Grand Power, the Arsenal Strike 1. But that's it. I haven't been since.
Oh, wow. That's not like you.
I would usually go shooting today, but that was too hot. I stayed home. But I did a really bad neighbor thing today.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
Well, I'm working on the show notes, and I go and have a cigarette, and the kids across the street, like 3, 5, and 6, are out on the driveway, and they're yelling, and they're screaming, up, going up and down the scooters, and they're having fun. And I hear them, I go out, have my smoke, come back in, and I go an hour later, and I have another smoke, and I can still hear them screaming and carrying on, having fun. And I turned to Terry, I said, you know, if I walk my dog up that street, those kids are so terrified, they will go running in the house screaming. She says, you know what? It doesn't sound like a bad idea. They're driving me nuts. I said, Colt, get your ball. I said, gotta go poo. And I pointed down the sidewalk, and he ran as fast as he could down the street because it's a regular thing to go running in the field. And you could hear the sound of the scooters and bicycles drop as they hit the pavement, and the kids scream as they run, and they ran right in the house.
You know what I just realized? I segued right into what you did in Guns, and we didn't even announce that you've come back. Your hiatus is over.
No, I just kept going. I didn't even get the opportunity to say anything.
I'm like, hey, Thomas, what are you doing? I'm like, so...
like nothing ever changed.
I'm such a terrible friend. And all my friends will agree to that. Anyways, Thomas, you're back!
Yes, I am.
How was your summer?
It was long. Apparently it's been a really hot summer. No shooting, so nothing interesting happened. Didn't buy any guns.
Well, I can't think of a better episode for you to come back to 100. It's a mile marker, and it's great to have you back.
Well, you know, I couldn't handle your crying and begging, so I had to come back to episode 100.
I was nice for the first couple weeks, and then, you know, little pecking, a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, a Guns in the News, something for Guns in the News popped in. I'm like, oh, Thomas is checking out the show notes.
Well, then he tells me, that gives me a heck for only putting in one story. Well, I thought somebody else would put in more stories, right? But here's just one for you. Michael put in story one or story two.
Oh, that was awesome.
I didn't think he'd say anything about who put them in.
Well, I am absolutely thrilled that you are back.
Okay.
And that brings us to Mr. Michael. What did you do this week in Guns?
I just did a lot of dry firing. I really need to do a lot more dry firing. So what I did is I put my holster on the shorts that I just wear around the house. And that way, pretty much every time when I went to put on my shorts, oh, look at that, a holster. Better fill it up. Right? So I throw my revolver in there, and you know, I wouldn't necessarily didn't have dedicated dry fire time, but you know, when I had a chance between, you know, crying babies and cooking dinner, things like that, did a little bit of dry fire.
Would you answer the door dressed like that?
Pardon me?
Would you answer the door dressed like that? Your shorts and your gun on your hip?
I kept my IDPA vest upstairs. Just for that, just in case I had to answer the door, I could at least throw that on so it looks a little less conspicuous.
But, no. Sorry, go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right. And then, yeah, pretty much I got an ATT for my trip out west that's coming up. That's the first time that I've ever actually had to send an email in and get an ATT for us. The club does the ATT automatically for us, and to go to all my shooting events, I just need an invitation. So this was my first trip out of province, so had to get an ATT. It actually went relatively well. It took a couple tries for the person on the other end to understand what I wanted an ATT for, but in the end, we figured it all out. Yeah, we're good to go now.
You know what? I did do something in Guns this week. I forgot all about this. I turned the great big giant,
monumental.
Monumental. Thank you. Hey, what would a episode 100 without somebody screwing up a word? Anyways, monumental 4-0. Yes, I've officially become old like Thomas.
Oh, shut that.
Did you buy something in 40 Smith & Wesson?
Oh, I should have. But that's not what I did in Guns. My license expired on, I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever my birthday was. So, you know, and true George fashion, I left it to the very last minute. So, you know, 9 o'clock, whatever the 23rd was. What was the 23rd? Wednesday morning? So 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, I'm like, oh, I forgot to renew my license. I better do that. You can renew it online now. And it took me all of 10 minutes. So I already had the passport photos done. But yeah, it took me maybe 10 minutes, if that. So that's what I did again. So I renewed my firearms license. So I should get in the mail my spanking brand new ATT license. Or license with the ATT attached to it. So I'm excited about that.
That's
got that done before the liberals could ruin our lives with new legislation.
I wouldn't count that out, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I got it in before they had the opportunity to do that. So anyways, so that's what I did. Not overly exciting, but so anyone that's got a license coming up, I just went and got my passport photos, like $20, and did everything online. And it was like just super easy. So I encourage you to do the same thing. Maybe not wait till the last minute, because it says if your license has actually expired, then you can't do it online. And I was like, ugh, this is like the day of my expiration. But it let it go through, so.
You're lucky.
I mean, your CMP haven't kicked in my door and arrested me and, you know, done nasty things to me, so. All right. So now we're going to move to nothing like an awkward segue.
It's not like you haven't done this 100 times or anything.
This is just true new shooter Canadiana. All right, so guns in the news. Good awkward segue. Story one. I'm not sure if everyone, this has really kind of dropped off the radar over the last year, but there's a big court case with some of the directors and the NFA and kind of all that drama. Well, the court cases between the NFA and its former directors has been ruled on by the courts. We say former directors because the court ruled in favor of the NFA. So an appeal will be doubtful. And we do have a copy of the ruling, but we did not ask for permission to share our copy. So unfortunately, it's kind of vague, but that's about the best we can do. The information is public knowledge and freely available. I'm not sure how good your Google Foo is, or you can always request a copy from the courts. I'm not sure what courthouse. Thomas, do you know what courthouse that was?
It was Alberta.
Alberta. So if you desire so, you could always ask for a copy. So that's that. Story two, Mr. Michael.
Story two, FN has recalled 471 of their FN SCAR 17S rifles due to the possibility that certain products may have been assembled with a bolt that does not meet their hardness specifications. Firing may cause catastrophic failure of the rifle over a period of time. That doesn't sound good. The product recall serial numbers are Hotel Charlie 52427 through Hotel Charlie 52926 are affected. For more information on how to return your rifle, contact FN's customer service at 1-855-536-4872 extension 145 or FNSCAR17SRecall@FNAmerica.com.
Merkel. That's kind of scary.
That is.
When you do up the show notes, would you be able to put that contact information in there?
I certainly can.
You are the man. All right. So what's new in the industry is a bit wordy, which is good because I need to go grab a beer. So Thomas.
It's pretty short, actually.
Talk slowly. How many coffees have you had?
Actually, none. I've had my 3 cups this morning, and I haven't had any all day.
Perfect. Speak slowly.
I'll go as slow as I can. I was going to talk about the new Nighthawk Custom. It's got a cooperation with Korth made revolvers, but they've only got one Canadian legal model, and it's over $4,000. So it's I changed my mind on that one.
Whoa.
I found, yeah, it's sweet. It's a really nice gun, but it's not something I'd buy. But I did find something better and cheaper for the new shooter. How about a Canadian-made stainless steel 9mm 1911 called the Canuck? This thing is a Series 70 1911 pistol with a skeletonized trigger and hammer. It's got an extended beaver tail with a speed bump, ambi safeties, adjustable sights, front and aft side serrations, and a rail for $800 Canadian. So it's I think Odell Engineering's website is under construction at the moment, so I couldn't find any detailed information about this new offering on the market. But it's nice to see a Canadian manufacturer and distributor competing against the flood of the Turkish-made 1911s that are coming in. They are in stock in your dealer shelves now, so visit Odell's website, just find a dealer near you.
Yep. They also come in 45 too.
They come in 45. The price ranges were like 7.25 to 7.50. I picked the one I like the best. The most expensive one was 8. Well, you know, if you want a Canadian-made 1911, the only one that I know that's a current production model is the Belasque, and it goes for around $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah.
Your only other options now are the the Seffern Armory. You've got the Archangel. There's another one. JT has one, but there's a lot of Turkish 1911s coming in. The problem is that price point, you're not getting a lot of milled and machine parts. You're getting NIM parts in there.
Yeah.
I just turned on my Facebook live feed. So anyone that's watching right now, hi. And we're in the middle of recording our 100th episode.
Now, can they see all of us or just you?
No, just me. I just turned it on my phone.
Okay.
Red Branch, www.1911. Howdy, Red. So, I've never done a live feed. I got 5 people watching. Oh, look at me.
This isn't going to be a good thing. I can just feel it.
So, if you're listening to this, yeah, I've missed the live feed because this won't be posted till tomorrow. But everyone that's on there right now can see me. Hi, Sarah, from the basement. So this is hilarious. This is awesome. So I'm not sure how boring this is going to be because nobody can hear anybody else. All they can Facebook land can only see and hear me. So, anyways, so that takes care of what's new in the industry. So main topic, actually, I'm going to say bye to everybody on Facebook land. Bye.
Bye.
I'm not sure how to turn this off. Oh, I guess I hit the finish button. Oh, that was cool. Okay.
You should put in the intro that also the hosts are easily distracted.
I meant to do that earlier, but...
Come on, George. So what's in the topic?
Sorry.
I think he saw something shiny again.
Squirrel. Oh, shiny thing.
Okay, you got to leave that in. Don't cut that out. That was golden. All right, main topic. Babe, are you still with us, or have you fallen asleep in there?
I am still here.
Oh, you are my rock star.
I just want to say congratulations, you guys. 100 shows. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I know, that's crazy, eh?
Crazy. Who
would ever known we had made it to 100?
Who would have known?
I'm surprised I made it to 56, so.
Hey, I can't believe I made it to 40. Have you met my kids? Good thing they don't listen. Anyways, let's see. So I'm going to turn the reins over to my sweet Wanda, and you can take it from here, babe.
Okay, well, congratulations. I guess it all started with you, George. So what made you decide that you wanted to try shooting?
Okay, you got to do earmuffs because you can't hear this next part because I'm talking about another girl.
He's going to talk about her.
Another girl. Don't.
The American.
Yeah, the American. Back in 2010, I had met an American girl, and we had started dating. And so she would come to my place. I'd go to her place. We kind of shared the driving back and forth. And I'm sure I've told this story many a times. And so she asked me for what I wanted for my birthday once. And I was like, you know what? I want you to buy yourself a gun so we can go shooting when I come down and visit. So she did. She bought a Mosin, of all things. And I enjoyed it so much that I thought, you know what? On the weekends that I'm, we're at my place, it'd be nice if we could go shooting in Canada. So that's what kind of initiated the whole get my license idea.
Oh, there you go. And so when did you get your PAL?
I just renewed it, so they're good for 5 years. So I'm guessing it must have been, I think I started the course the end of 2010, but by time all the paperwork, the waiting period and all blah, 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 and all that stuff, right? It would have been like February of 2011 when I got it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And what was the first gun you purchased?
The very first gun I purchased was my Savage Model 64, I think it is. It's the Savage is semi-auto 22.
Awesome. Why'd you get that one?
It was the cheapest.
It was in stock and it was cheap. That's about the. He showed me a couple of used ones and I was like, nah. And he's like, well, we got this Savage. It's brand new. And I think it was like $250 or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'll take it.
Awesome. So you've tagged a whole bunch of other people into joining your shooting lifestyle. So how do you think that you've influenced others?
Well, I've definitely, my three girls definitely have had an influence on them. Sarah, she likes shooting. She doesn't really go shooting, but, she's not opposed to it. Eva, she does not like shooting at all, simply because of the noise. She doesn't like but we were talking one day, and she goes, well, I'm not anti-shooting. I don't hate shooting. It's not my thing. And then Jessica, well, anyone that's listened over the past year has heard all about the pink gun and the buck mark and the Jessica stuff. So she still quite likes it. My dad, when he was a little boy, he had a 22 and then he got into motorcycles and that was the last of firearms until I got into it. And then he kind of went, you know what? I want to get into this, great father son bonding. I always make the joke, every new gun for him is a new gun for me eventually. When he bought his SKS, there was a couple family heirlooms that kind of got lost and, he was kind of upset about it. So when he bought his first gun, he got the SKS 1952, cause that's the year he was born. And basically he's going to be starting the family heirloom. So that'll get passed down through the generations and whatnot. So then,
and Jessica. You didn't mention Jesse?
Jessica. Yeah, Jessica with the buck mark.
Oh, okay.
And you just think of it this way too, George. If you pass before your dad, at least Jessica will get the guns then.
Yes. And every new gun I've bought will be a new gun for my dad if I die for my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
He'll end up going to my dad. So then you and I met 3.5 years ago. So I've kind of introduced you to shooting. The funny thing about that is you've always enjoyed coming to the range, but you've always been the spectator. You might fire a couple rounds and that's it. Until you want a gun. Now you're like, I want to go shooting. We've taken your boys out a couple times. We've taken Ben out a couple times. We took Ben and Joey. So it was Joey's first time last weekend.
Yeah, they had such a good time.
Yeah. So,
big smile. You can see it on your video that I posted on your Facebook wall. Big smiles.
Yeah, big, big smiles. Yeah, they love it. And then, the show. I started the show many, many years ago. And yeah.
November 2012.
Yep.
So what possessed you to do such a thing?
Oh, that was the next question. Sorry.
That's okay. I segue you right in there. It's all good.
Didn't mean to step on your interview. Well, what possessed me to do it actually was I was brand new to shooting. I discovered podcasts. And so the very, if you listen to my intro, I think it's in my intro episode. The very first show I ever listened to was Doc Wesson on Gun Nation. He had talked about this other show, The Gun Dudes, and then everything just snowballed from there. And I very, very quickly learned I had a lot of terminology that I had to learn because I hadn't, they'd be talking about things I had no clue what they were saying or talking about. So I'd have to look it up and look it up and look it up. And I'm like, you know what? I went to college to be a computer geek. And, you know, this is right up my wheelhouse. There's got to be other people in the same boat as me. So why don't I do a show? Actually, you know what it was? I was whining and complaining that nobody did a show to teach new people all the lingo. And then I kind of went, you know what? Maybe I should be that guy. So I did. I got a domain and the rest is history.
You went. Away you went.
Here's a clip. Here's a clip from your first intro you ever did.
Hello and welcome to New Shooter Canada Episode 1, a podcast for new shooters in Canada. Our goal is to bring the new shooter up to speed with a lot of the lingo that you're going to hear at the local ranges or on other podcasts that you're listening to. We'll be answering questions, covering topics that affect the Canadian shooter.
That's so funny.
The same.
He does, I know. Because you know what? I so remember him so clearly back in the trailer recording his first few shows, and it was just him and his laptop. And even when you're listening to the first few episodes, I was listening to them this week, and you can tell he just sounds so green. And it was just his voice and really not a lot of entertainment value. And by that, I just mean he was really dry, right?
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
So then all of a sudden, episode 6, you started this big hello, internet. And then all of a sudden, the next episode, number 7, you came out with this great big personality with the hello, internet, coming you from deep down beneath the secret hidden igloo with this big musical introduction and everything. Like, where did that guy come from all of a sudden?
Actually, the hello, internet, I got that from, I just steal everything. Like, why be original when there's so much good stuff out there? The hello internet came from, it was either Jay's introduction or Weird's introduction on the Squirrel Report, which was a podcast that I listened to. I haven't caught it for a little bit now. But they used to do a live show, and that was kind of his intro, and I kind of laughed, and I thought, oh, that's kind of cute. And then the coming to you from deep beneath the secret hidden igloo actually is a ripoff from Michael Bane's intro, and he says coming to you from deep beneath the secret bunker or something like that. So, of course, you know, I'm Mr. Original. I just originally rip off everybody else.
And being Canadian, you had to say igloo.
Well, of course, I had to change it from bunker to igloo. and I think I had the Great White North in there, too, I think. Did I not say that or something? But,
yeah, I think you did, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, the Great White North is a ripoff from the McKenzie Brothers, but, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure they're cool with it.
Right.
And then the music was, everyone else was running music, and I'm like, why aren't I running music? And so that music, I went to like a free, a creative license website where you can use the music for free. And I'm trying to find music and music and music, and I'm like, I just finally got sick of looking. I'm like, you know what? I'm picking this stupid clip, and I'm just using it. So.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's, just, you know, by episode 7, you got to do something.
Right. So where did you get the, you always end the show with keep your barrels down, raging, smoking. So where did you get that from?
That actually I did not rip off. That's original material. Copyrighted trademark 2016. Thank you very much. Actually, when I first started shooting, you know, whenever you do a course of fire, you know, you put the gun, pull the magazine out, put the gun down. Well, it's always smoking, right? The smoke's coming out. Well, when you put the gun down, your barrel's always pointed downrange, so keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Yep. One of my most favorite, absolute favorite movie moments. And, oh my goodness, I'm not sure if I can find it. Talk about squirrel moments. It's a John Travolta movie, something about Paris, An Evening in Paris or something. There's a scene there where him and another guy are having a shootout, and the last gun he shoots with is a revolver. And as it's smoking, he puts it up to his nose as he's walking and takes a great big whiff and goes, and then drops the gun. So just keep your barrels smoking, just kind of. Anyways. Oh, I love that scene. It just came up in my memories a few months ago, and I shared it. And I'm like, oh, I got to go back and watch that movie. Oh, most favorite gun scene in the movie. Because he just puts the gun up and just goes. And I'm like, oh, I've so done that.
You're funny. So you took a big long break, July 2013 to November 14, over a year. Why did you take such a long break?
Because I hated the listeners.
What?
I'm just kidding.
That wasn't in the rehearsal. What?
That's not in the script.
Damn it, stop going off script. You know what? It was an every 2 week show, and because I was so green and so I lacked so much knowledge, it was a ton. Because we're a clean show, I will clean this up a bit. It was a poop ton of work. That one's for you, Kev. You know, I had small kids, I had work, you know, same old story of life, right? Life just gets in the way.
New girlfriend. And,
new girlfriend. Yeah, I just started dating. I think it was around episode 9 or 10. No, because I think I still did a couple more episodes after you and I started dating.
Yeah.
So it would have been right around there, yeah.
We are February 13th.
Yeah, so, it just, you know, I let life get in the way.
Yeah. Awesome. So, you're known as Mr. Shenanigans. What's that? What's that about?
All right, well, let's listen to this clip first, and then I'll answer that.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away.
I'm calling shenanigans.
I love that movie, and I love that clip. That has got to be the, well, besides the Evening in Paris John Travolta clip, that was,
What's that from?
Super Troopers. I love everything about Super Troopers. That movie was hilarious.
Is that the meow movie?
Yes!
Yes, it is.
have a nice day, meow. whenever I hear shenanigans, that scene pops into my mind every single time. So now it's like I'm declaring shenanigans, shenanigans, shenanigans. If I hear shenanigans one more time, I'm gonna pistol whip the next guy that says it.
Thomas, did he use that word a lot on the show?
At least once a show.
Really? Not often?
Yeah.
I declare shenanigans.
That's funny. Okay, so you...
Sometimes he says that and says, instead of saying you're lying, he's saying shenanigans.
Right.
Well,
yeah, if he doesn't believe you, he calls it a shenanigan.
And I'll be nice to Michael. You might want to mark this this as an edit point. It's the nice way of saying bull...
Oh, okay. What are we going to do with that?
That's why I said Mike can bleep that.
Yep. Right. Thanks for the warning.
Bulls, dude.
Thanks, Thomas.
Okay, we'll bring us back around. Oh, okay, ready?
Okay, keep going.
Okay, so you started back up again November 14th.
No, November 2014.
Yeah, November 2014. That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch of clips there from his shows there for us, Mike, right?
Yeah, I do. I got some funny stuff here, so here we go.
I personally would rather freeze outside and shoot in the cold or just stay at home and dry fire and practice dry firing.
How often do you practice your dry firing there, George?
Oh, let's see. 6 ways of never.
Oh, yeah? So I guess you must have went out shooting a lot this winter then, eh?
6 ways of nope. Well, you know, what episode was that from?
That was from episode... Ah, crap, I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't know where I wrote it down. it was from your first... It's got to be within, like, your first 10 episodes, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, because this winter was the first winter that I finally went, you know what, I ain't going shooting, it's too cold. Fair weather shooter, that's me.
The freeze-dry fire was episode 1.
Yeah, it was. Because you're talking about indoor ranges, and you said that you would rather either shoot outside in the cold or dry fire at home than go shoot in an indoor range.
Oh, yep. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, now you know for sure that you're turning old, George, because you don't want to shoot outside in the cold like the rest of us old people.
Yes, dear.
Yep. And then we got this clip here for you.
I have a bow. Actually, I got to go sight that bow in for hunting in December, which I'll probably do right after I record this podcast. But I'm not going to touch on archery in this podcast. I'm going to focus on the shotgun activities, pistol activities, and your rifle.
So pretty much no archery. Then this comes up.
Welcome to episode 29 of New Shooter Canada. This week, our main topic is archery with Trevor.
and you got Trevor as a guest that week, not me. I never asked him.
Yeah. I just found that funny when I was flipping through there and I was listening to that and I said, I'm pretty sure he just said no archery. I'm like, I had to have done an archery episode since then.
Well, you know what's funny is after that interview, Trevor says to me, he goes, wow, I thought you would have asked me more questions. I'm like, dude, I let go of the reins and I just let you go. This is your baby. This is your wheelhouse. I just stood back and I just watched the master. That's all I did.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I said, what questions could I ask? I said, like, when you're in the presence of archery greatness, you don't get in its way. You just let it glow and let it be.
Oh, jeez. And then we got this clip here.
I'm going to do an AR build, which I will keep everyone updated as I learn, and that's going to kind of be probably mostly my section of what I did in guns.
And then there's this.
And, yeah, and I'm going to start my AR build and bring that to the show, and I think that'll be useful for new shooters.
So how's that AR build doing there, George?
I just looked on the date. That was almost 2 years ago he started that. I didn't even realize it was that long ago.
Goodness. That's when I was, I think I was living in my parents' basement again for the, like, umpteenth time.
Yep.
When I started that.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, if anyone listens to episode 99, I think we talk about it in episode 99, or was that after the interview?
It was in 99 somewhere.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I got brought up when we were talking with, talking to Jay. And, yeah, it's coming along. It's
coming along?
It's coming along. It's,
hold on,
we're making progress. We're making progress, you know.
I distinctly remember him saying that he wasn't going to build it anymore, that he wanted to get into the old school stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He said that within the last dozen episodes, though.
Yeah
but I was...
And then he's had an epiphany, and now he wants one again.
In my defense, I was really drunk that night. Apple Crown. And I think there might have been some tequila in there somewhere. And I'm really not sure. There was some basketball. There was some Deadpool. It was, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, that's the night there was that aborted road trip, too?
That would have been priceless to have that clip, the road trip clip for the show. That was funny. But yeah, no, that was the episode where I was like, yeah, I'm going to sell my AR. I'm going to buy a 4570 because I like the old stuff. And, you know.
That's funny.
That's why it's not safe to drink and sell guns.
So then, Thomas, you started November 2014 on episode 11, not too far into the episodes there. So you were bugging George to get him back on the air, and then what made you tell him that you should drag you on with him?
Because he never answered my stupid email. He put this episode out, and he had all these different types of cartridges, and he didn't understand what the difference would be on a plated bullet, and he couldn't understand what the little cutout of the bottom was of some of the lead bullets. So I went downstairs, and I did all kinds of photographs for him. I did gas seal bullets, full metal jackets, plated jackets, all kinds of stuff. I described what everything was for, because I liked the show because George was a new shooter, and a lot of the stuff he was discovering on his own. He wasn't getting it. Like when he discovered his trigger placement, that was all on his own. He picked that up. Nobody told him about it. He did it on his own.
You should have seen. I wish I had taken a picture. He used to sit there with his like books open as he was doing his podcasts.
Yeah. But it was a much needed podcast because there wasn't anything out there for the new shooter. And remember when I got back into shooting back in the 80s, there was nothing. Everything I research was on books. So he was doing the same thing, but he was sharing it with the new people. So I gave him a year, and he never answered my letter after a year. Then I started harassing him, and then finally I said, look, if you do it, I'll come on with you. And then as soon as he came back on, the first thing I did was put my letter up there that he never answered.
That's true.
Funny.
I remember that. No, that's right.
So did you get it answered then, Thomas, finally?
Yeah, I answered it myself.
That's right.
Oh, that's funny. So we have a clip of Thomas.
Yep, here we go.
I'm going to introduce my co-host. So I'll have somebody keeping me honest and keeping me on a somewhat regular schedule, otherwise he'll bust my chops. And that is Thomas Donnelly. So Thomas, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, well, my name's Tom Donnelly. I met George through his podcasting a couple of years ago. He had the New Shooter Canada, and we became friends because of basically an argument that we had on the show one time. He was going on how shooting was a hobby, and I hate that. To me, shooting – I say reloading is a hobby, but shooting is a sport. So we started bantering back and forth, and every once in a while I would write the shows if I saw something that I thought he needed correcting on. So we became friends ever since then.
That was a big argument with you and George in the beginning about the hobby and the sport thing.
That discussion is still ongoing with other people. We got a bit of feedback from that. I actually had I talked recently with Lorianne from the Women's Outdoor Group, and Brian wrote the show about it as well too, because you know some people do consider it a hobby, and depending on your level of involvement, I'm sure it is a hobby. But then you look at people like, say, for example, Pat Harrison. He's considered an athlete. Mary Patrick is an athlete. And then you have people like, good example, see Brian Bolivar. You know, he's a very competent rifle shooter. Brian thinks it's a hobby to him. He considers it a hobby. Mm-hmm. But I look at it differently. I consider Brian to be an athlete because he does a lot of training. He's constantly updating skills, taking pistol courses. He's taking carbine courses. Recently, he just took a Mag 40. And he trains just to, you know, even though he knows he's a very knowledgeable shooter. He knows if he goes to, for example, he didn't need to go to Appleseed. he is such a good rifle shooter. He didn't really need – he wasn't going to learn any new skills at that event. But he knew that there would be something different that he wanted to learn, so he went. Even though he was – I think the first target, he used his 22, and he didn't make his AQT. But every other target after that, Brian hit rifleman. So he knows what he's doing, and it shows. But he went to take the class to learn something new. He was going to he got a CCW recently, I believe. So he took the Mag 40. So, you know, here's – and he, so he's taking his game up a step. The amount of training that he does, like when his – he shoots service conditions, and you need to be physically fit to shoot that sport. It's to your advantage to be physically fit. You can be – you can do it without being – but you're not going to be as competitive as some of these people. So, you know, he works out at the beginning of the year. He gets himself into shape. He's been to the Daniel Shaw, the Tommy classes, everything else. So somebody who, in my opinion, Brian will disagree with me, but somebody who dedicates the amount of focus and training to their discipline is an athlete. Plus, sure. He teaches as well. He, yeah. You know, he's studied mental management. He's extremely knowledgeable in optics and on his AR platform. He's done group shooting for the scouts. You know, he's a very involved shooter. So that's why I would look at it. He would say he's not an athlete. I would say he is.
Right, right.
So that's why when he says it's just a hobby to him, no, because he's such. If you're an athlete, you get involved and you push your game. And people that compete, whether it be IPSC or PPC or whatever, if you put everything that you've got into that sport and learning and improving your skill, you're an athlete. You're not a hobbyist.
Yeah, yeah. So you tell us in that first episode, and if anybody wants to go back and listen, it was episode 11, and how you got shooting as a kid and how those were big memories for you. But when did you actually get your PAL?
My big thing was getting my hunting license the day I turned 15. And then the FACs came out when I was 18. So I just applied for the FACs because I owned firearms already.
And so so you were like dinosaured in?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, kind of. When all the laws kicked in, I was the age and I already had everything. So I had to register at the PAL. And...
Gotcha. And what was the first gun you purchased?
Myself? Well, the first ones I actually got, my parents got me a single shot 22 bolt action, and they got me a Cooey, which same model that George has actually, the 64. First gun I bought myself was a really cheap piece of crap single shot 12 gauge.
Right. And why did you get?
It's all I could afford.
Teenagers, George.
Yeah, it's all I could afford.
That's funny.
I see a theme here.
And with
well,
that,
you definitely added so much more. Go ahead.
With that gun, it was a piece of crap. I think I paid $100 for it, and it died within 6 months. And the Toronto Police were having a giveaway for turning your guns things, and when you turned in something, you got to draw. So I actually took the gun to the gunsmith. He deemed it non-repairable, so it wasn't worth my money. Might as well throw it out. So instead of throwing it out, I took it and turned it to the police. And I got an envelope, and the envelope, I won a $750 bicycle. So I sold the bicycle and I bought a really nice semi-auto pump. I'm semi-auto shotgun with the bicycle.
That is awesome.
I bought a Mossberg 9200 with the money I got from the bike.
That is awesome.
Good job. Good job.
Thomas, you are my hero.
So if you're offering any kind of rewards for turning in guns, don't give them a good gun. Give it to a friend or a relative. But if you have a piece of crap that you know it's not repairable and you're going to get something free out of it, go for it.
That's awesome.
You've definitely added so much more personality to the show, Thomas. And the dynamics between you and George has always been really easy to listen to. You added so much with your knowledge and your passion for shooting. George was clearly really green in the beginning. It was nice to hear some experience added to the show. Sorry, babe. Can you share with us, Thomas, some of the thoughts that you had during the earlier episodes that you did together? Anything that stands out to you?
George is sinking. I need to help him.
Yeah, that too. I was incredibly nervous the first couple of shows.
Were you?
I was really tongue-tied and twisted.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have never known that listening to the show.
where George was the seasoned professional, so I sort of sit back and let George take control.
11 episodes in, he's the seasoned professional.
Yeah. Yeah, it just took me 2 years, or a year, I guess, to do 11 episodes.
Yeah.
It's almost so, one a month.
That's funny. So what was this about, Thomas, about you pissing off the CSSA? What was that controversial story about?
Oh, man. You had to bring that one up, didn't you? Okay. You remember the NFA had that magazine petition? And they trying to get the capacity changed?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Sure.
Okay, so I messaged Tony Bernardo at Facebook, on Facebook, and I just suggested that he bury the hatchet and get together with the NFA and try to promote the petition. And he answered me back saying, oh, there's no hatchet to bury, which really upset me because I knew from the history that there was. And then I heard from one of the directors at the Sportsman Show that people were actually telling, CSA members were telling the NFA directors at the Sportsman Show not to sign the petition. So that really angered me, and I spewed off about 10 years worth of stuff, and there was repercussions out of that.
I remember distancing myself, saying, these are Thomas's. Actually, I think I even talked to you afterwards going, you need to be able to, like, we need a disclaimer on this one. You went off the deep end with both feet.
The problem is a lot of it was the old guard. Those people are no longer with the organization. Those people are long gone. That was 10 years ago. So I got an email from the current receptionist. I believe her name was Heather. And I guess maybe it reflected on her when I said the stuff that he did. So she actually went back. She answered all of my questions that were unanswered from before. I suddenly made friends with John Evers from the CSSA. He contacted me also.
I remember that, yeah.
I think I also heard from Mike Dunhoven. what else? Oh, the only real bad thing about it is that Chris McCroskey is a friend of mine, and he got really ticked. And then we ended up having discussion with it on the message feed on the show. And then Darlene got involved with it because she was actually there. And I believe then Jamie got involved with it because he was actually there. And Chris got so mad that he unfriended me and blocked me on Facebook. And then when we went to the Sportsman Show this year, he was there, and neither one of us approached us. We just ignored each other at the Sportsman Show. So that was kind of sad, because I've been friends with Chris for about 16 years. So I haven't talked to him since then. He was so pissed.
Oh, dear.
The good thing is that even through all that, the CSSA still came forward and was the biggest single contributor to the charity shoot this year.
Yes.
They were
the biggest single contributor cash-wise. They gave us a really nice donation. So.
Yeah, they did.
And John actually mentioned that to me when he was going to give me the money. I said, so you want me to ask them for money after you trashed us on the air, dear?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good on him.
Oh, no, he's a great guy. I've talked to John Evers many times, and he's a super nice guy. Yeah, and if that's really good people working there, like, I can't say enough about Mike Dunhoven. He's a super, super guy, and John Evers does a lot. And 10X is very involved with the CSSA. He actually took there's another person that contacted me after that. I believe 10X actually messaged us too on that. So I created a stir.
And good on them. Like you said, they really stepped up to the table for the charity shoot, even though we probably weren't the highest on their friends list. So. But you know what? They were able to put that aside and really step up to the plate for a great charity. So good on them.
Yeah, good on them, for sure. So, George, you always did the show once a week, but once every 2 weeks. Then you guys decided to change to a weekly podcast. How did that come to be?
Well, the name that shall not be mentioned, because hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Not that I'm saying you're hell or a woman scorned. Stacy. Stacy, huge fan of the show. She was encouraging us to put out a show weekly, and I was apprehensive just because of the commitment that was involved. And with her encouragement, we're going to say, I talked to Thomas, and Thomas was more than thrilled to go weekly, and we figured out a scheduling system for that to work. And so we went weekly. So if you're happy we went weekly, you can thank Thomas and I. If you're not happy, you can email Stacy at Stop. Love you, Stacy.
You're funny.
No, so, she's an absolute sweetheart.
That's funny. She is. I adore her. Thomas, did you learn how to say lanyard yet?
I say it. And she's also doing all the lanyards for us.
Lanyards, you mean?
Lanyards, yes. Lanyards for us.
Lanyards, Kevin's you mean?
I'm with Kelly on this
oh,
one.
Oh, you had to, didn't you? Lanyards? Lanyards?
I said lanyards, didn't I?
Thomas?
She was going to do the name
tags. Say
it tags.
With me. Lanyards.
Lanyards.
Okay, good. Proceed.
She was going to do name tags, but Kevin actually already designed the name tags, so she's going to do that lanyards.
So can you say it yet, Thomas, or what?
No.
Come on, just give it the old college try. Go ahead.
Microphone. I'm too busy choking.
Go ahead.
I can't.
Come on, we're waiting. You got to do it just once. What are those things called?
Rope.
Rope. Oh, you're funny. So why do you end the show with Take a Kid Shooting?
I think it's important that people introduce kids to the sport. I got introduced when I was a kid, so.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I'm trying to see. I'm crying from this laugh. My glasses are all covered in tears.
Oh, well, don't wipe up yet, because we got another clip yet. So. So why do you say that girls are cute all the time? Do you think every girl is cute?
Maybe.
Maybe. Go ahead.
When you like her page, I go to see where you are, just around the country.
Oh, Thomas.
I do. And we got a lot from out west, quite a few in Alberta, some BC. We have a lot of French listeners. We've got quite a few guys from the States. I look for guys in Europe and Australia to see if we have any people from way, 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 way far away liking our page. But it's global right now. People from each end of the country and people from the southern states. So it's we really appreciate you liking our page and keep sharing the shows.
And just to our listeners, Thomas isn't really a stalker.
I just click to see where they actually are. I don't go in and look at everything, but I just want to see what city they put down as their place of residence. That's all.
And see if they're cute.
Okay.
And we actually have quite a few girls liking the show, so that's good to see, too.
Yeah. Please don't click on that.
Oh, Thomas.
Oh, so many cute girls.
Yeah.
If I can interject here for a second.
Might get in the face.
So, just to kind of expand on the internationalness of the show, I'm looking at a complete history, and these are the top 10 countries for downloads. Canada, United States, Germany, United Kingdom, France, the Netherlands, Australia, Russian Federation, Brazil, which kind of surprised me, and then others, which would be the rest of them. So we are very much international. Now, mind you, the bulk of our downloads are Canadian, closely followed by the United States. But, those are some of the other countries that are listening to us. So, hi, how's it going? What's up? How you doing?
Oh, man.
All right.
Somebody stop him.
Somebody turn that guy's mic off.
You're the closest.
Actually, she closed the door. She had to go into another room, so there wasn't feedback. She closed the door.
Okay, so we have another clip to make fun of Thomas.
But you're taking the CCW course, so you'll have the training and the confidence.
Do you listen to the show as we record? I just finished saying that in June. I'm not going to.
Oh, September. Okay.
I probably will.
Oh, you guys.
Do you listen to the show as we record?
I forget things.
Are you going to edit?
Yeah, please do. No, he never does. We screw up, and I say, "Oh, you edit that." He'll say, "Okay," and he never does. And then also things mysteriously show up in outtakes that aren't even mentioned that we have outtakes.
which I found that in the outtakes too. So.
Oh, you did? Oh, good.
Oh man, that's funny.
It's distracting going to let the dog out and drinking coffee and doing that while the show's going on, right, Thomas?
There's so many distractions. There really are.
Of course. We don't blame you.
I blame the medication.
So then in May 2015, George and Thomas, you guys decided to add a female to the show. So how did you guys come to that decision?
I asked George if it was okay.
That's basically it. Thomas just said, what do you think about adding a third host? And I'm like, do you have somebody in mind? He goes, yeah, I kind of do. And I'm like, who? And he said, what about getting Kelly from the Appleseed? You know, it'd be nice to maybe, you know, get a woman on. No other show's got a female co-host, and it'll give us a great dynamic and a woman's perspective.
Right. And that's when you went down to Michigan for the Appleseed? That's when you met?
Well, I was trying to avoid that part of it because your next question is, how did you meet her?
Oh, well, because you have to segue right into it, so it's all good.
So, yes. We met Kelly down at the Appleseed. She, her and Kevin came down together, and yeah, that's how we met.
That was your first one, right, George?
Yep.
Yeah, and Thomas, was that your first one as well, the Appleseed?
Yes, that was my first one.
Yeah, and you got Rifleman that time, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that's I remember.
I got very cranky and whiny.
Yeah. Well.
We did better the next day when we were both heavily medicated.
Yeah.
I can tell what's going through Wanda's mind. When is he not whiny and cranky?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's funny. I don't know whose show the Saturday night recording was on, but like everyone was on but me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bed because I'm in so much pain and I'm miserable and I'm going to bed, so I don't care.
Well, Brian did a recording back at Stacey's
place. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So, and then the next day I was on Advil and T1s.
Oh, they really helped.
Which I accidentally brought into the U.S.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, oh, crap. I forgot to take these out of my car. Oh, well. And the crazy thing is they searched my car. I got sent to secondary and they searched my car and they didn't say anything.
Lucky.
That goes back to you have to be in shape to be a shooter for the sport, right?
Exactly.
Right. Did she do any guest appearances before she actually had her official start?
No, I don't think so. Yep, what, you don't. Did
we not have her on the show right after the Appleseed? I thought we did.
As a guest?
I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah, I think we did have her as a guest. And I think that's because that's what prompted you to...
Did we have Mike and Sarah on?
No, Mike and Sarah we had on for the Appleseed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, yeah. You're old.
So you started, Kelly started in episode 34, rightfully entitled Girls and Guns, right?
Yep.
She had a lot to offer the show, being a new shooter and contributing with a lady's perspective, which I really liked. I know I really enjoyed listening to the ladies-only shows that she hosted for a few times, right?
Oh, she wrote some really good lady shows.
Yeah, and that was the first time it was ever done in Canadian podcast history, right, having an all-lady show.
Yep.
I don't think anybody else has ever done it.
Yeah. So she was always really interesting and informative, and to listen to, no matter if it was a guy or a girl, or how much experience they had or not. She was
she was cute, too.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so we got a clip of Kelly, right?
Yeah.
So we'd like to introduce Kelly Lynn. She is now the third co-host of New Shooter Canada. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm good. Thanks for asking me to be the third host.
Well, we're really looking forward to having your input as from being a woman and as a new shooter, so I think you have a lot to offer and a lot to bring to the show.
Thanks. I think, well, I am a new shooter, and I am a woman last time I checked, so I'm thinking.
And, you, and you'll class up the joint.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need some classing up.
I don't know if I'll do that, but maybe.
That's funny. And then wasn't her tagline at the end, always keep it classy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So anybody want to comment about Kevin and Kelly's amazing work in regards to the 6th annual charity shoot this year?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. They did a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yeah. With it being in Brockville, it was right in their backyard, so they shouldered a lot of the legwork and a lot of the work. And, you know, it was the most successful charity shoot to date, so... You know, a lot of that credit goes to Kevin and Kelly, and you know Thomas too. He filled up that prize table.
Yeah.
He had he went gangbusters on everyone in the industry. So, yeah, Kelly and Kevin were very instrumental in
that. Even listeners got involved after that. And then Brian came in and he got his Vortex and was it Korth? Yep. And then,
I believe he had the lead. That got us the Remington rifle, too.
Yeah.
He had the contact information that he had passed on to Kelly.
Yeah, he did that in the Vortex, I believe. And we had a lot of listener input. Like, it just snowballed. Like, at first, we were approaching people to help get involved, and then by the end, people were approaching us to get involved, which was really nice to see.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Most successful, you said, George. So how much money was raised? Over $5,000, right?
Yeah, it was, I can't remember.
Close to six.
57 something, wasn't it? 57 and change was the grand total.
Yeah.
After there were still a couple bills to pay and still a few donations that were coming in, and I think the final tally was around $5,700. Just over $5,700.
It was more than five times the amount raised than any previous charity shoot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was pretty. We had about $6,000 worth of prize merchandise donated, and we made that just well back on the prizes and the registration fees. So it's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, we did.
It was a good time. So episode 93 was her last show, just after the charity shoot in July. Why did she leave the show?
She had taken on a role with the CCFR. Canadian Coalition for Canadian Firearms Rights.
Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights.
Thank you. That's what I said. Just don't go back and listen. That's what I said. Don't hit rewind. So a lot of the time my commitment was going to fall on Sundays, which is one of the nights that we record on. So she just felt that, it would be in the best interest of the show of instead of constantly backing out of recordings that it just she stepped down and pursue that. So
right.
So that's what she's done. But she's still on the air. She's still on Slamfire. So if you need your Kelly fix, you can always go over and listen to her over there.
Yeah. And so we have another clip of Kelly there, right, Mike?
Yep. It's just her telling us that she's leaving the show.
Okay.
For personal reasons as well. I'm just taking a break from the show as well. I just wanted to say thank you to George, Thomas, and Mike as well for everything. I have taken on some new roles with the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights, and I know that my Sundays will be filled up, and also with work in that as well. So I don't think it, didn't really think it was all that fair that I wouldn't be here on Sundays. So I thought I should take a step away as well. But I did want to say thank you to you guys for everything and that. So thank you.
Aww.
You're welcome. Kelly, you will surely be missed.
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to say that. We wish her well, and she will be missed for sure. And then, so then you guys decided to add a fourth host to the show. How did you get there?
You know, it all went downhill from there.
I'd say.
So you held an application process for the first time. How did that work out?
There was a lot of disagreement on that process.
We decided to put out, well, actually, what happened was it wasn't because of Kelly leaving, but...
It was quite a bit before, right?
Yeah. It was because, just the way the flow, it almost sounds like it, we added Mike because Kelly leaving. But it was because of me. I started driving the big boy trucks, and my schedule was just ridiculous and all over the place, and just it was just a mess. We were recording. Normally we record Sundays and Mondays. It was getting to the point where it'd be like Tuesday, Thursday, and like almost a whole week would go by, and it was just crazy. So Kelly, Thomas, and I decided that I would kind of step back, and we would get a third host that could actually commit to the schedule, and that way there's some regularity and whatnot to the show. So that
was my schedule didn't help either because I'm off alternating Sundays and Mondays, and that made it tough on Kelly too.
Well, yeah, and it made it tough on me.
On you, because so Kelly and I would record on the Sunday, or we'd have to record on the Monday, and you couldn't always make the shows because of your schedules.
Yeah, and then with your schedule, because you work afternoons into the midnight shift, so it's not like you can record during the week. And yeah, it was crazy. And we, you know, as the listeners know, we rectified that. I created a second Skype account that's paid. So that there were some shows where I start recording from my cell phone in the truck. So, but just to keep fluid and some stability in the show, we decided to add a fourth host. That's why.
Right. Hey, and I remember all of us going to the first Canadian Maple Seed, and that's where we met Mike and Sarah. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying that he loved listening to the show. He was big fans of you guys. I think he would listen all the time during his night shifts at work. Is that right, Mike?
Yep, that's when I listen to my podcast.
Yeah. So I just read this afternoon your email submission, Mike, and I loved how you stated all your shooting experience. And right at the very end, you said, you should choose me not only because of what I mentioned above, but so I can stop hearing about how Sarah's been on more podcasts than me. Ha, ha, ha. So how many New Shooter Canada shows had Sarah been on before you even joined as host?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, she went on a few of the all women's episodes.
Yeah.
She went on the Maple Seed episode, which I went on too.
Yeah.
And she was even on for the SAS episode.
That's right. She was, yeah.
Right.
So she went on almost half a dozen episodes, and she always found it hilarious how I was such a hardcore dedicated listener, and yet I've only been on one episode, and I was one of 12 people in that one episode. So,
well, Mike, she is Mike. Cute,
and she is cute. That's
she is cute too.
That's funny. Yeah. So you have a clip, one of your outtakes.
It's actually an outtake from the SAS episode when Sarah was on.
Okay.
And you guys were trying to explain to her that. Which mic I was.
Oh, right.
Oh, yes, yes.
The mic that doesn't double load.
Yeah, it didn't get that for the longest time. He's like, I wrote in, I'm this guy. I'm like, why are you that guy? Some guy's actually not that guy?
Some guy's actually not that guy.
Well, we had another mic writing in, so we had to specify which mic it was.
Yeah.
That's great, because we had Mike in Cambridge who decided double loaded 22 and just see what would happen when he fired it. And so that was the distinction. There was Mike that double loads 22s and the Mike that doesn't double load 22s. Actually, we haven't heard from Mike in Cambridge for a long time, so I hope he didn't blow himself up. Mike, if you're still
listening. He doesn't double load 22s in his gun. He does it in a controlled, scientifically controlled environment. So don't try double loading 22s.
Yeah. He sent us photos, and it was all done in a controlled environment. But yeah, that's the story behind that. There was Mike, and then the Mike that doesn't upload 22s.
That's funny.
He's like the Canadian Geeks Gadgets and Guns type of guy.
Yeah.
There you go. So episode 80, April 2006, Mike, you joined the group. How did you enjoy your first show? Were you nervous like Thomas was?
Oh, yeah, I was nervous as heck on that episode. I mean, after that episode was over, I was sitting there thinking, like, I felt like I only said about 10 words the whole time. just because it was all so new and so nervous about the whole first experience. But no, it was great. And it turned into something really great. I'm really happy I did it.
Yeah, for sure. And like Thomas, your first episode, you can't even tell that you were nervous. You seemed like old hat right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you have a clip of your intro?
Yeah, my introduction to the show.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 80 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas Donnelly.
I'm one of your other hosts, Kelly Lynn.
And we have a surprise for you. We have our winner of our New Shooter Canada
fourth co-host
spot. Co-host spot? Fourth? Yeah, okay, George is still around, isn't he?
Yeah, yes.
Please welcome Mike Hissen.
Yay!
Thanks for having
me. Welcome aboard. That's awesome.
Yeah, you're stuck with this now, Mike.
Yes, you are.
And I believe that was about our third take because I had screwed up the first three.
No! What did you do?
Well, I think it was because Thomas had said, like, oh, and one of our hosts is, and then Kelly came in and said, Kelly. And then he kind of went silent, so I said, Mike! And they're like, no, Mike, we'll introduce you. Oh, okay. You try it again, and in the middle of it, yeah, or hello! And it's like, no, Mike, we're going to introduce you fully. Like, ah, jeez.
That's funny. That's a good. Yeah. So how did you get into shooting?
I got in, I guess you could say, as part of a fluke. I've always been interested in firearms. And Sarah, for one of her previous jobs, she was going to get her firearms license. So I thought, well, here's my chance to go do it with someone. So we went and we did our license together. And even after that, it took me almost a whole year before I got the courage up to go to a shooting range because I had no friends or family to go teach me how to do it.
Were you and Sarah dating then? Were you married then?
We were dating. We were dating and dating. Yeah, dating, almost living together.
Yeah.
Dating, almost dating.
And when did you get your pal?
I got my pal. I originally got my non-restricted. I think it was back in 2012. And then I went back and got my restricted after I bought my first gun in, like, 2013.
Oh, there you go. So that's not very long ago.
No. I got my non-restricted, and I loved it so much that within, I think, 3 months of me buying my first rifle, I went out and got my my restricted license.
Right. So what was the first gun you purchased then? The rifle, what was it?
It was the Ruger 10/22.
Oh, that's the one I want to get.
Yep, it is. I would say it's a good call.
Yeah. So why did you get that one?
Because the pretty girl at the counter recommended it.
What is it with you guys and cute girls?
I told her what I want to do with it. You know, I'm just going for fun. And she's pretty much said, here's what I would recommend.
Oh.
I said, sure, sounds good. You know, it wasn't too expensive, so pack it up.
There you go. So Thomas adds experience and wisdom to the show. George adds the shenanigans. And Mike, you seem to add the perspective of a young family that shoots together. You end the show all the time with time spent at the range as time spent with family. Can you tell us about shooting with Sarah and how you plan on introducing the sport to your kids?
Well, shooting with Sarah, it really progressed naturally because we both got into shooting at the same time. So we kind of learned and figured things out together at the same time. So I guess you could call that a bonding experience. So that was really great. As for how we're going to introduce our kids, I still don't really know how I'm going to. I know I'm going to, but I mean, you know, I'm just winging this parenting thing. So, I hear people talk about, you know, how you start your kids when you think that they're mature enough and, you know, that you only shoot 22s and you work your way up, things like that. But besides that, I don't really know how I'm going to do it officially. I'd actually
but yeah, time. She's yeah. like, what, six yeah, weeks?
Yeah, 6 weeks. Sounds good.
Well, he's already dressing her in new shooter gear, so.
Oh, yeah.
I just bought my granddaughter a 3-month-old jumper, and I saw Sarah on the weekend, and she's like, Dad, she's 4 months old. I'm yeah. like, yeah, I threw a dart. I missed. What are you going to do?
Clearly, he didn't go shopping with me.
Yeah. Our daughter's just barely over a month old, and she's already fitting into 3 months, and I think she even fit into something that was a 3 to 6 already, so.
Yeah.
That should give you an idea of how fast she's getting big. So, but hopefully we'll get someone on the show that can help me figure out how to do this whole teaching your kids about guns and getting into it and stuff like that.
Well, how old were your kids, George, when you introduced them? Because Jessica was pretty young.
Yeah, Jessica was little. She was, oh my goodness, I want to say maybe 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Yeah, I would get a bench and bring it up to the firing line, to the shooting bench, and she would sit on the edge of the bench. I would sit right behind her, and I would kind of cradle her, the gun, and kind of everything, and she'd just be pop, 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 pop. Just, she was total natural at it. But it was kind of, I decided that once they were old enough that I could confidently take them to the range without worrying about them shooting themselves, me, or anybody else. I thought, they're ready for the range.
Order Sarah, of importance. Actually,
yeah. Sarah was shooting Dawn's, the American girl. Sarah was shooting her Mosin in 2010. So that was 6 years ago. Sarah is about 18, so she was 12.
11, 12, yeah.
Yeah, she was 11, 12 when she was shooting the Mosin.
Okay, yeah. Sarah and I have been talking about buying, just for anyone out there who's looking at buying a Savage rifle right now, there's a rebate offer. And we saw that there's one for the little Rascal rifle. So Sarah and I have been kind of kicking around the idea that maybe we'll pick that up for her now while there's a rebate on it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, what's the little Rascal? Is that a single shot?
Yeah, it's a single shot 22, and it's like a shortened stock. Like shortened everything for, you know, kid sized, and right. It had the peep sights on it. It had a Adriel from the hunting gear guy from Slamfire actually did a review on it, and it looks like it's a really good gun that comes with a lot of good features, more features than probably, you know, a little kid that doesn't even know how to shoot yet really needs. But it's still a really good gun, so we're thinking that's what we're probably going to go with.
Nice,
but just because.
Go ahead.
Just because I say that, if listeners have a better idea, I'm open to ideas.
Yeah. George, you started your girls off with airsoft guns, right, at the beginning?
No, the airsoft guns came after the 22.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Well, the airsoft gun, the airsoft pistols were the theory, because they moved out into the country with their mother, was that they could shoot them out on the farm. Until their mother freaked out because I bought them guns. it's a bit of a tragic story, really, but the OPP ended up getting involved. The OPP officer apparently shot himself in the hand with it and went, well, you know. So the OPP officer came out very apologetic, gave me the pistols and just said, I think you could shoot these in the city of London. I'm like, no, I've already checked. They're a spring gun, and it specifically says no spring guns. So, yeah.
Was he okay, the officer?
He survived.
Okay.
No PTSD or nothing. He survived. My ex-wife, I think, is still in counseling.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So maybe not a good suggestion then, Mike. I don't know.
But you know what? A single shot is perfect. Like I said, Jessica, I was shooting with her at 6. You know, if I'd gotten into shooting sooner, I probably would have let her shoot sooner. Now, I had mine was a semi, but I would only load, you know, 1 or 2 rounds in. until I got comfortable with her comfort level.
Yeah.
But a single shot, I think 5 or 6, I think is no problem. Even depending on what the kid is, like.
Yeah. And that's where, that's why I debate on whether it's worth buying her a gun, just because the Rascal, the reason why I'd buy it is because it's a shorter stock, right?
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for that, I have a Cooey that's a bolt action, and why not just use that, right?
Well, why not use that?
Just because the stock is bigger.
Yeah, right? But if you're going to use it for her, it's just a Cooey. Just cut the stock back.
Oh, no, I don't want to cut the stock off it. It's still my gun. I'm not giving her the gun. I'm just letting her use it.
Oh, Mike, you are the man. That is awesome. Ah.
Well, doesn't Savage have bolt actions that come with an adjustable stock, like you stocks, that you can make them bigger or smaller, so Daddy could still use the little girl's gun? Plus, they have... And they do have a... That one particular model is actually bolt action with an adapter, so you can only shoot it single shot. But when they progress, you can take out the adapter and then run it as a bolt action.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. That you said that was Savage?
Savage, yeah. Hmm. It's got a little plug, so the mag, you can only put one round through it.
Oh, okay.
Plus, the thing about the Rascal as well, too, I think it was... the scope mount on it's proprietary, so you have to buy that directly from Savage as well, too.
Yeah, but that's only if I put a scope on it, right? If the kid progresses enough that they're good enough to shoot a rifle with a scope on it, hopefully maybe by that point they've also gotten bigger and they can move up from the 22, or they'll be too large to handle that Rascal, right, with that small stock. They might outgrow that.
Yeah.
That's if Dad doesn't put a bigger stock on it, right?
Yeah.
For himself.
Well, you have definitely lots to look forward to, Mike, right? Like, lots of family moments at the range and stuff. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Guns under the Christmas tree.
Boxes of ammo.
So just a few more questions, and then they're directed to all of you now. So you guys, this 100th show, like... How do you come up with new topics?
We just go to Thomas.
And I steal them.
Hey, I don't question Thomas, where he gets them from. I don't care. He comes up. He is a topic machine.
It's hard because, you know, you listen to the other podcasts and you don't really want to start covering the same topic. Like, who wants to listen to the same thing on our show and listen to somebody else's show and listen to somebody else's show? So I try to avoid stuff that the other shows are covering at the time. But, you know, I just go on Facebook, Firearms Blog. It's really good. I just keep my eye on things. And as soon as I see something interesting, I pick it up and I put it in the show notes.
And if in doubt, we'll just do an episode on reading her manual.
Yes. Speaking of that.
Which is funny because Kelly and I teased them so bad about that topic. And then somebody commented on Facebook saying, hey, that was a great show. That was a great topic. It was so funny. Kelly and I are like, you want to do a show about what? So now I keep my mouth shut, and who am I to question the great Thomas?
Again, he adds the wisdom, right?
He does.
There you go.
Well, a lot of times, like before Mike got involved, you know, with George's chefs, he's on the roll all the time. And Kelly was very busy at work, too. She's got a very important job, and she's very busy. So I'd come to a Friday, and, you know, we put the show notes up on a Sunday, Monday. Come Friday or Saturday, they're still empty. There's nothing in there. We're recording.
Why does that not surprise me? Why does that not surprise me?
There's nothing in there. So I just, you know, it's a last-minute rush. And then, of course, everybody has to decide whether they want what I've included.
Right.
So I could put 3 or 4 things in there, and, you know, Kelly may not like this, or George may not like that, or everything gets switched around.
Right. There you go. So does anyone have any favorite moments that you want to share, any squirrely moments that you look back on and laugh? Or I know, for instance, one of my favorites, we couldn't find the clip, but we wanted to bring it up, was how George cleaned his gun and removed soap to clean the gun.
Oh, did he take a ribbing for that one?
Oh.
You what?
John?
You take your sights off your gun when you clean it?
John Fitzgerald and Kelly came down to London, and we went out to the Palisade and had a bit of a double date. And he brought that up. We were talking about the show, and he was talking about, you know, the value of the show and how great it is for new shooters and everything. And he goes, you know, you keep it real. You do the things that people just shouldn't do. And you share it on the show. He goes, like taking your scope off to clean your rifle. Because you're not afraid to share those moments. So I'm like, eh. You can laugh at me.
And you know, you weren't the only one that was doing it, because unfortunately the design that Kelly had on her 1022 is a shell. It's not attached to the receiver. So every time she cleans her rifle, she's got to take her scope off. She's got to disassemble the whole shell because her point of impact changes. So,
but yeah, but she didn't have a choice. I did.
Yes, this is true.
And it wasn't even like a month ago George was cleaning his gun. I had to send you a picture, Thomas, to prove it, that he wasn't taking his scope off anymore to clean it, right?
Well, he was worried of getting those screw holes dirty, I guess.
Any other favorite moments?
I got two, actually.
Do you? Good.
Yeah, there's two. Kelly and I recorded awesome interview with Fred and Vaughn from the Firearms Outlet. I mean, it was a great show because it was a new store, a lot of new products, and Vaughn was a wealth of information about IPSC and everything. We lost the episode. Kelly
no.
and the reporters, yeah, they both crashed on us.
No.
We felt so bad. I mean, because those
I
guys
never
are,
knew about that.
Those yep. guys are so busy because that's one of the few shorts. Shops, he's open 7 days a week, and there's only about four of them, so these guys are really crunching their hours to keep that place open. So they took a time of their busy night to get all three or four of them with us, and I just, yeah, Kelly and I felt so bad this and that. The other one was we were talking about at the beginning of the show, we don't use video when we're recording. Like George in the beginning did, because it was just the two of us. When Kelly came on, by the time she was ready to do the show, she was in her pajamas every night. So she didn't want to do video with us two guys. So we never did it. But then we had Mary Patrick on the show. So Mary and I did the video. Well, the rest of the guys didn't. And I'm telling you, the stuff that didn't make, or the stuff that went to the outtakes at the intro, the end of the show, that kid was hilarious. She kept me in stitches, because you couldn't see the funny faces and the stuff she was doing to me. I'm having to mute my mic because I'm peeing myself laughing with this stuff. And you know, she has to be one of the most focused young shooters I know about. So I really enjoyed the episode with her because she was hilarious. She was on the ball. It was just all in all a good show. I enjoyed it.
I remember that one. That was a good one. Yeah. What about Mike? Mike, you have any favorites?
I have favorite moments, but they more relate to a question further down the line, so I'll just leave it for that.
Okay. There you go.
Can I segue into something first?
Sure.
We'll go right back, because we're talking about Mary. We have a new thing coming up on New Shooter Canada. We have Mary Patrick is going to be doing a coaching series for us. So every couple of weeks, we're going to have, you know, a 10-15-minute show with Mary. She's going to pick the topic, and we're going to have a little coaching segment for the new shooter. So
awesome.
Great to have her on board. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Oh, and she made the junior team. She got her four points, and she now has a spot on the junior team, too.
Awesome. So now I have someone else to listen to besides George to teach me how to shoot.
Well, you're going to have somebody that really knows how to teach you how to shoot.
My goodness. I am the last person you want to teach you how to shoot. Okay, see this long, little round thing with the hole at the end? Make sure it's pointing into that big, giant dirt pile down way down there. And you're good to go.
And you can almost – that's kind of funny because the very first time I shot, we took a video. And it almost looked like I was going to look down the barrel. Remember that, George? And you were like, wait. What are you doing? Put that gun down.
And then you shot it. And I'm like, oh, put the gun down. I forgot my ear protection. That was loud.
Right. He was so worried I was going to look down the barrel that he forgot to put his ear protection on.
And then as you shoot my 45s, and it was my single action, so they were loud.
Yeah. We like, do that once.
Yeah.
And it's funny in the video. I was like, oh, okay, put it down for a sec. That was loud. I can put my ears back on.
Yeah, it's funny. So you guys have had so many guests over the last couple of years, like 100 episodes. It's a lot of guests. I don't even know how many. But and I know it seems kind of. You know, you don't want to miss anybody or disinclude anybody, but, you know, any favorites that pop out at you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I guess I'll start us off here. I'm not going to say favorites, but we just had Jay and Jessica on, and they're so busy. They're like incredibly busy. They got day jobs. It's like about the training, company they're starting up, so we try to be very sensitive to our guests and their time constraints. So we decided, well, we'll just do the interview portion, that way we can cut them loose, and then we can, you know, we're not holding them up, and we'll do the actual show part of it. And so that's what we did the interview, and we said, okay, well, thanks guys for joining us. And they're like, well, wait a minute, you're letting us go? And I was like, well, you know, we don't want to tie you up. You're busy. And yeah, but we've been rehearsing what we did in Guns all week. Oh. Oh. Let us go. We got to do what we did in Guns. We've been looking forward to it all week. And I was like, oh, you guys are absolute sweethearts. So they end up staying on for pretty much the whole show.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So that was a very, very endearing guest and interview. So yeah. That would be my pick.
There you go. Thomas?
Trying to stay awake here. Trevor's been on a couple times, and he's really done a good job on the show. I always like it when we have Trevor on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
My favorite is kind of actually about four different people. Right after Thomas said he was going on hiatus, and Kelly had left the show, George and I were going, crap, what do we do? And we actually ended up having a series of guest hosts on, like one right after the other. And
right,
it was awesome having those guys on. I mean, I think there was the episode, I think it was with Wes. And I think the episode we aired was only like 40 minutes long. But I realized our conversation was over 3 hours long with Wes. Like that just
Yes, that's great.
Like, we just hung out with him, and it was awesome, right? And the same thing goes with Benny. We had Benny, E.T., and Mr. Uzi.
Pretty much.
And,
oh, yeah. Mr. Uzi was the best. Because I said, yeah, we should have Thomas on. And Mike's like, who's that?
Is that Mr. Uzi?
Is that Mr. Uzi? I'm like,
yeah.
My work's done here. Thank you. I'm now going to take my bow. Thomas Bryant has now been officially labeled Mr. Uzi. He's not known by his actual name.
Who nicknamed him that? How did he get that name?
I called him that because that was from the previous year's charity shoot. He had sent out the BR-99, and I had made a comment on it, and he said to Matthew, he's like, well, send it to George. And so I got a message from Matthew saying, oh, well, Thomas said to send you this. Are you okay with that? I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take it.
He's been having a bromance with Mr. Ubi ever since.
Yeah. BR-99 looks like an Uzi. And because it's a pistol, you can put 10 round. No, that's wrong. It's a non-restricted because the barrel extends out past the 18 inches. So you're limited to the 5 rounds, but it has a shroud on it. Looks like a suppressor. It's not, but it still looks like one. I don't care. I love the gun. It was awesome. And so I forever, because we end up having him on a couple times, and I'm like, nope, I don't care what your name is. I'm calling you Mr. Uzi. That's it. I'm putting my foot down. You will forever be known as Mr. Uzi.
To be honest, I didn't know his first name was Brian either. I only knew him as Mr. Uzi.
No, his first name's Thomas.
Oh, well, there you go, see?
And Mike had no idea. He's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute, is that Mr. Uzi? I'm like, my work is done.
That's funny.
Yep. And of course, I post that up on Facebook, and out of that whole exchange, Mr. Uzi goes, well, what did you want to ask me? I'm like, seriously? That's what you got out of that post? Dude, I totally renamed you Mr. Uzi, and you are known as Mr. Uzi, not by as who you're known, your real name is. He's like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. I'm like, oh my goodness. Here's a step stool. One over your head. And I'm sure he'll fire me a message when he hears that. Love you, buddy.
That's well, there's funny. So many Thomases. Thomas and I, Thomas S. and I were shooting up the range, and we were at the firing line. He goes, so we need to call each other. We're both Thomas. Like, what are we going to do here? This is going to get confusing.
Oh, there was an episode when I think I mentioned Thomas Stika, and Mike goes, are you sure he wants his last name mentioned? I was like, yeah, well, if not, it is now.
And it is again.
Yeah, I think I ended it the first time, too.
Well, you know what? I've talked to him before on the internet and that, but we met face to face at the charity shoot. Such a wonderful man. What a wonderful, wonderful man. And I'm sure he would not mind the shout out. So, Thomas Stika, you the man.
What did he win at the charity shoot again? Well, he won all the projectiles. He won all the 3,000 lead Wolf 9mm.
Did he?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if he has press because he showed up with Wolf Reloads when we went shooting, but he's got lots of projectiles.
I don't know if you've heard, but I won an Uzi at the charity shoot.
You won an Ubiscon.
Oh, yeah, and that's good. And it was a new something, see?
And now the RCMP are going to be showing up at your address going, excuse me, you have a what?
Is that your house? It's all good.
No, it's not. Mr. RCMP officer and CSIS officer, I have no idea what she's talking about. She is delusional. Thank you very much.
Is that payback for throwing you under the bus?
And transmission now.
Well, New Shooter Canada, congratulations on your 100th episode. Good job. You guys have listeners all over the world that download the show week to week. Your numbers keep growing, and I'm sure you encourage more and more people to think about the sport of shooting. You definitely are an informative and entertaining show and have grown a long way from George's small one-man podcast.
Well, we've grown, but I don't know how much.
Well, good job to all of you and to all your guests who've contributed all over the years. I wish you well over the next 100 episodes and continued success as the show grows and evolves into what your listeners love listening, hearing week to week.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming on and interviewing us.
Oh, it was totally my pleasure.
And your idea.
Well,
you've done a lot of work, and we really appreciate it. Thank you, Wanda.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Honestly, my pleasure.
All right. Well, that will bring us to events. So I will take the first one since it's the longest, and you know that's just the way. That's just how I roll.
I don't have any show notes.
All right. Well, then apparently Mike and I will take care of the events and the rest
when
of the show.
When Skype crashed, I'll have to go back and find them because we didn't post them in the show notes.
All right. So event number one is the Barry Gun Club 4th Annual Ladies' Day is on Sunday, October 4th from 12 to 5. There's no experience necessary, and I got a cough. Hold on. Oh, you can hear it through Wanda Skype. Oh, that was awesome.
That's funny.
I wasn't going to edit that out, but now
clearly an arm's distance isn't quite far enough.
Oh, you got to leave that in, Mike. That was funny. Yeah, let's do that again. Event number one, Barry Gun Club 4th Annual Ladies Day is on Sunday, October 4th from 12 to 5. There's no experience necessary. No cough entered here. And no firearms license is required. There is a $20 registration fee, however, with all proceeds going to the Canadian Breast Cancer Foundation. For registration or more information, please contact Susan Rattel at Susan Rattel at Barry Gun Club.org.
Oh man.
Lots of
how many beers are we in?
I got 4 beer caps in front of me. An empty bottle. Event number 2, Mike.
The Aztec Armory Algonquin Cup 2016 Level 2 IDPA match at the Eagle Lake Gun Club in Sundridge, Ontario will be on September 18th. For more information, please visit algonquincup.ca.
All right. And event number 3, Armatura Group Pistol Fundamentals Course, September 4th in Midland, Ontario. And we have a listener email. And did you want to take this, Mike, or do you want me to run with it?
I can take it.
Sure.
Tom. Shika.
Thomas Shika.
Shika.
Hey, we were just talking about that guy.
Yeah, we were. You wrote up a comment on Facebook asking people to send in some of their favorite moments, and we did get a few. But Thomas actually wrote a whole nice comment to us, so I'll read it. It's hard to pick out only one or two highlights, as your whole series of shows is so entertaining. New Shooter Canada is one of the few podcasts I add to the top of the queue as soon as it is downloaded. The host banter, mispronunciations, squirrel moment, and wide variety of guests and topics keep me informed and entertained. I guess if I had to identify one favorite moment, it would be when George restarted the podcast with Thomas after a hiatus. Congratulations on 100 successful podcasts, and here's hoping you continue for at least another 100.
Aw, yay!
Thanks, Tom.
So, yep. Tom, my response to this is my the fees for my web hosting and media hosting is coming due in October, so you can send me a check, and I will assure you the show will continue. Just kidding. I've always covered those fees with great joy and love, and your kind words for this message and at the charity shoot are well appreciated. Thank you very much, my friend.
Yep. And if you want to send any other feedback, questions, or comments to us, you can send them to host@newshootercanada.ca. You can message us on our Facebook page, or you can use the comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca.
And iTunes as of blank 0. Facebook likes as of today, 886. It'd be nice to get up to 1,000 folks before the new year. So if you haven't liked the show, get clicking, get liking. Our egos depend on it. Our narcissism depends on it. We will crumble if we do not get to 1,000 by the new year. We will cry and weep in the fetal position.
Does he really speak for all of you? Is he speaking for all of you, Thomas and Mike?
Yes, especially when the numbers drop, when somebody unlikes the page, it really hurts.
Oh, roasted.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. When we had Wes, part of that 3-hour that didn't make it, I was chatting about the new, my Canadian Redneck page, and I'm like, yeah, I said it fluctuates between just around the 700 mark. I said, people will like it, then they unlike it. And he's like, seriously? Who unlikes a page? I'm like, it happens, dude. It happens. He's like, why would somebody do that? I'm like, because they're edit point.
Oh, edit.
I don't unlike pages, but I may unfollow a page.
So, anyways, so Facebook likes.
Oh man.
186. Stop unliking us. Geez, I've had a real foul mouth this episode, haven't I? I think I've been bleeped a couple times, depending on whether Mike caught the edits. Closing comments.
I can give an edit point if you want.
All right. You know what? Since Mike was the driving force behind the hat contest, I will let him announce the winners.
Well, thanks to the people who did use do the poster. Unfortunately, we only really got 3 submissions, so we decided that we just give a hat to all 3 of them.
Excellent.
So, yep. So thank you. Thank you goes out to Thomas, Bryant, Mr. Uzi, Paris Chica, and Baron Chica. So if they send me their information, I'll get their hats out to them, and they'll have a choice in color. First come, first serve.
And what are the colors?
A red, a blue, a gray, and 2 blacks.
There you go. First come, first serve. So message Mike either on Facebook, or you can email host@newshootercanada.ca. So that brings us, geez, it almost seems sad to bring this episode to a close. Unless you're a listener and you're like, oh my goodness, it's about time. Yeah, tomato, tomato. Yeah, it's, you know, you can shave a cat either way, but either way, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. So, brings us to shout-outs.
When was the last time you shaved a cat?
Yeah, I try not to do that. Hey, listen, I'm ad-libbing. It's ad-lib. Come on.
You don't even like cats.
Throw me a bone. Yeah, no. My sister dumped her cat on me. I'm like, please, free to a good home. I'll pay you to take the damn thing. Not a cat. So, shout-outs. George. Actually, I've got nothing written down here. My shout-out is just going to be to all the listeners, download the show from week to week, that are entertained by my shenanigans, informed and educated by Thomas and Mike. And just, you know, it's so humbling. You know, I look at the stats. I see we're downloaded all over the world. See, the download numbers are always solid and steady, and it's very, very, very humbling. So my shout outs to all the listeners. It's been 100 episodes, and it's been great. Love it. Thomas.
My shout outs to Mike. Especially during my hiatus, Mike does a lot of work on the show. He does a lot with recordings now, and he's really taking on a big workload. So my shout outs to Mike this week.
You know what? I'll second that. I was having challenges with trying to get it edited and posted. It was delayed, and Mike stepped up and said, "Well, I don't know anything about this editing stuff, but if you kind of walk me through it," and you know, he took the bull by the horns. Not only did I listened to the show, and he surpasses my editing, which was barely minimum at best.
I believe I heard
the pre-show, cut off the post-show, post it, hope for the best, hope you enjoy. He actually puts effort into it, so I you know what, I'll second Thomas's shout out. Thanks, Mike. You do an amazing job.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. I'd like to thank the listeners too, like George did, and I'll thank you guys, the 2 of you and Kelly, when you guys kept the show going for a long time, and really, I just kind of jumped in at the end here to celebrate the 100th, and I really just jumped in to celebrate the charity shoot, and you guys pretty much did everything, so thank you guys. You guys really carried the show on.
So what I'm hearing is you're just a bandwagon jumper.
That I didn't vote for.
Are you kidding me?
I think Mike's going to have a stroke. He's gonna...
All right, so we're probably going to need to replace Mike next week because he's going to tell us to piss off at the end of this episode. Well, it's good that we all have track marks on us.
He didn't have any tire treads on him yet.
All right, so anything else, Mike?
Nope, I'm good.
Big F you to Thomas.
No, I'm good.
I wasn't asking you. Alright, so until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange, and for goodness sakes, keep them smoking.
Take a liberal shooting and save your guns.
Oh, good one, good one.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
All right, everybody. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and listening to Our Shenanigans for 100 episodes. And here's to another 100. Catch you guys next week. Actually, next week we may be off because of holidays. So maybe a couple weeks, and then we're back to our weekly rotation.
Good night.
Good night.
Cheers.
I really like 22 Mac.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
Now for corny Steve Lee music. Outtake. I've been threatened with severe physical pain if I record on holidays.
Facebook, I'm just looking at Facebook. George, you're sideways on the live feed.
Hello, just noticed that?
You're sideways on the whole thing.